Barbara, I can see that Supervisor Compton is in as a attendee.
So we are at 1:30. Are we waiting for anybody else that we know of?
I wanted to make sure that Rob Hilton and Morgan McCarthy were on the line.
Hey, Brooks, I'm here.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So with that in mind, let's move on to calling this meeting to order and do roll call, please.
Debbie Arnold.
I'm here.
Juma Blake. Charles Verbeau.
Here.
Karen Bright. Lynn Compton.
I'm here.
Robert Enns. Did we lose Mr. Enns? Mr. Enns? Bruce Gibson. Supervisor Gibson, you're muted.
I am. I'm here.
Don Hammond.
John's here.
Jeff Heller.
I'm here.
John Pichon.
I'm here.
Keith Storton.
Here.
Aaron Gomez.
I'm here.
President Gomez, our office was notified earlier that Supervisor Hill would not be joining us today.
Okay.
Cheryl, Robert Enns.
Thank you, Mr. Enns.
Thank you.
So just so I know, Sheila Blake sounds like she's not here. Did we have one other person that is not here as well? Or did she say,
Sheila Blake has not checked in yet, and Karen Bright, I see now. Karen, for roll call, can you please confirm? I see her, and she looks like she's not muted.
It looks frozen.
Yeah. We have her.
Okay,
can I go downstairs? Karen Bright, for roll call, can you hear us?
Perhaps somebody can call her and see if, because I would venture to say it's a connection issue based on the fact that it says her bandwidth is low.
There she is, bouncing back and forth.
While that gets figured out, do we have any public comment for items not on the agenda?
At this time, if you have public comment, please either raise your hand, or if you're on the phone, you can hit *9. And I just need to get... All right, so And looks like Janine is our first to go. Janine, you should be unmuted.
Can you hear me now?
Yep.
Okay, good. Yes, this is Janine Rands. I live in San Luis Obispo. I'm concerned and also very interested in how people fill their trash bins and their blue bins and their green waste bins. And over the past 3, 4, 5 months, 10 years that I've lived here, we just see such indiscriminate use of our waste recycle and trash cans. I just moved to a pretty educated neighborhood, and people all around me with doctorate degrees show zero aptitude, or I'm not sure, education of what to put in what bin. And I just would like to find out if in your new coming up this year, do you have an education component of teaching people? I think half of our people don't sign on, or even if they have Facebook, they're not looking at Facebook. They're not looking at other social media. And if they do get a flyer in the mail, they're probably chucking it right in the trash. So I would like to find out how we're going to go about getting people to do the right thing. I've tried to, I've talked to a couple neighbors that we've met here in our neighborhood, and it just doesn't feel like it's well received. So I don't think neighbors teaching neighbors is the right way to do it. We have to maintain good neighbors with these people, and they think you're snooping in their bin, or how are you knowing that I'm doing the wrong thing? So, you guys are the experts. I'd like to help, but I think you guys need to get it done. Thank you.
And that looks like it's all for public comment.
Yes. Oh.
Okay. Since that was brought up, we should address the fact that we do have a fairly extensive education and outreach program. Obviously, there's always room for improvement based on what we're seeing go through the trashways. I spend a lot of time personally trying to educate people. As we all know on this board, it is not an easy to understand system in the sense that it has changed drastically just in the past few years. Patty herself, she does a lot of outreach and actually does speeches in front of various groups. And so I think we would need to get some more ideas put together as we look at our educational programs moving forward if there is something that is not being met. But I know that we do spend an incredible amount of time trying. I don't know how to get people to switch. We do have a business outreach program that I think is fairly new. So, but if people have ideas on actual programs or something they've seen elsewhere, please feel free to bring them to our board's attention or to IWMA staff so that we can try and put them into our own programs.
President Gomez, if I may interrupt, please. I noticed we have some phone numbers in the comments, and we did seem to lose Karen Bright. Can we double check that Karen Bright and Sheila Blake are not on the attendees list, please? Barbara, I don't know if there's any way you can tell.
The only way I can tell is to let them talk and say who they are. I can do that. Hello, 441-2920. Can you let me know your name? Nope.
Karen Bright here.
Okay.
Not sure where that came from.
I think Karen Bright is there, and I would suggest next time not asking for the names, but just asking to identify yourself if you are Karen Bright or a board member. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff.
So we have Karen Bright. Is there another number that we do not know what that is associated with?
Yes.
I'm looking for Sheila Blake.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, there you are.
Okay.
Good to have you with us, Hugh.
Thank you.
All right, so now we are all here. They're supposed to be here. Made it through public comments. Looks like we are on to the executive director's report. Mr. Stair, if you want to take it away.
Thank you. And first, let me introduce Rob Hilton and Morgan McCarthy. And if they want to take it away, I've got a slide that just has their pictures in case you can't see them. Right here.
Good afternoon, board. Thank you so much for having us with you today. I just wanted to give you a quick update on our strategic planning process. As I mentioned at the last board meeting, we are on track to meet with you for the strategic planning session now on July 8th. We're looking for about a four-hour chunk of your time to make our way through the mission, vision, and values and have that discussion that we talked with most of you about when we had our one-on-one interviews. About what the role of the authority is going forward and how you see the authority serving the community. So we're looking forward to that. We've been able to gather some really good baseline data that will inform that discussion and analysis. And so we're on track for that and hope all of you are able to attend with us. I do think it's sort of an important discussion for you at this crossroads that you're at, both with respect to SB 1383 coming up and the significant increase in staffing and resource demands that will come from that and the impacts on ratepayers from that, and wanting to make sure that we've got a clear vision from you about how the authority interacts with that and what the role of the authority is and how we support the communities as we do that. We also, you know, want to make sure that we're clear on what each of your member agencies' interests are in the authority and how the authority can provide good service to you, and in some cases, what the limits of that are. And so I think that's going to be a really ripe discussion for all of us when we're able to get together on the 8th. One last thing that Brooks asked me to update you on, the SB 1383 process, regulatory process is unfolding. CalRecycle has taken additional comments on the regulatory drafts based on the input they received from Office of Administrative Law. That process is closed. They're now considering those comments. They'll make any final changes, which we understand to be relatively minor, and we'll publish the final regulations sometime around late August or early September. There is, and I've gotten some interest from a couple of you, there is some discussion of some legislative fixes to the regulations. And so one of those is that there's, with the impacts of COVID and the impacts on small businesses particularly, there's a sensitivity to maybe phasing this transition over a longer period of time. And so there's one bill that's being proposed that would delay the implementation from January of 2022 until January of 2024. And there's another bill being proposed that would adopt a good faith effort provision to this so that if you aren't perfectly meeting all of the requirements, but you're making good faith efforts at implementing the programs and doing the things that are required, that you would be given some grace under the enforcement protocols. So both of those are intended to go in front of the legislature as soon as the legislature is able to take up those sorts of items. And hopefully that'll give us a little bit of breathing room here. But it's important to note there aren't proposals on the table to eliminate it. And the governor's been fairly clear that he wouldn't agree to anything that eliminated it. He seems to be having a little more flexibility around the delay. So I hope that's helpful to you. And again, we're looking forward to seeing all of you on July 8th.
Okay, thanks, Rob. Any questions for him at this point? Okay, and just to let you know, we're tentatively booking the Marriott, and they've got a separate space in the hotel, and we can have all of the board members with appropriate social distancing. The members of the public would have to participate via a Zoom meeting, so we would have it broadcast live so they can make their comment and listen on the meeting, but they would not be in the room is how we're planning it at this point. And so in the next few weeks, we'll be contacting each of you to see if you can reserve the entire four-hour time slot, because this should be on your calendar because it was a regularly scheduled meeting, but it's going a little bit longer, and so we need to know who can stay for a portion or all of that meeting. So thank you, and thank you, Rob, for calling in today. My next update, and I'm just going to go through these quickly, but if you have any comments, please just stop me, or you can wait till the end, whatever you prefer. But our offices are reopened last week fully, and we're following the protocols issued by the county. So keeping our social distancing and cleaning surfaces, et cetera. July 4th, our office is going to be on Saturday, so we'll observe the holiday on Friday, and the HHW sites will be closed on that Saturday. We're rehosting our industry meetings with the haulers and landfills and nurse via Zoom, and we had one June 2nd. Probably the best attended meeting we've ever had, so really happy with that. We'll always be transparent. Your credit card statement and expenses are in your packet, so if you have any specific questions on those, let us know. But I looked over everything again, and I think it was all justified. And then our hauler revenue audit, that began in January when we discussed, or when we sent to the haulers and the landfills the information requested, the data, and they responded requesting a non-disclosure agreement. These formed with R3, our consultant, and at this point about half of the haulers have signed those agreements. So we're hoping to finish that up in the next week or so and actually get the audit going. And we also have our annual financial audit done every year. The last year that it was done was 17-18, or that's what we've been waiting on. Glenn Burdett was our accountant, or auditor, excuse me, and they just gave it to us this week. And so we can now start the 18-19 process, so we've been a little bit behind here. I just wanted to point out that we're still reviewing that draft, but they did make several comments that we've made improvements since this was issued, or since the 17-18 financial issues. And so the agency is making progress, and we're happy to see that. And last month I shared that we had had almost 170,000 website hits, but I also want to mention our social media posts. So this is Facebook, Pinterest, Twitter, etc. So we are putting now, we started this earlier in the year, and we're now up to about 3,000 posts a month on all of our sites. So we're on pace to have almost 40,000 postings through all the media outlets, which we think is just fantastic. And then it's covering everything from recycling batteries, banana peels, and how you can repair items, reuse, litter cleanups, etc. So the topics run the gamut. And then Patty had a great idea to piggyback on other agency social media sites. So we've been contacting them, and so far it looks like we would add up to an additional 97,000 subscribers to our media if those are new and not duplicates. And some of just a couple of issues that we've covered. One has been battery fires. So your cell phones or laptops or whatever that people discard in the trash, or they put the battery in the trash. Throughout the country, they've been causing fires at landfills, MRFs, and even in the garbage truck. The battery gets shorted out and very hot. And so we've got a good campaign out about that. And we've also started a new campaign. I'd like to mention the slide on the right, Be Smart, Use the Green Cart. For our green waste and organics going in the trash in the green bin. And also the city of SLO is having a pilot project called Open SLO, where they have alfresco dining and closing off the some streets during night and weekend hours. And the city asked us to participate with them in providing containers so they could actually offer recycling and food waste recycling or composting. And so we're doing that. I believe it starts tonight. And then if you hear that some other community may have similar programs, So if your community has that, please let us know, and we will reach out to them about providing cards or similar services. All the HHW sites are open. We were waiting for Morro Bay, but they're finally open. They've all, Stericycle is our vendor, and they had an abundance of caution with this and wanted us to wear face coverings. So anybody that comes to the site, we're asking them to wear a mask. Also wanted to touch on our used oil grants. We got $82,000 this year, and so it's a pretty good program. What happens is we buy the trucks and the haulers use them, and they go around and issue the container to put the oil in and the bag for the filter, and then they come back and collect those once you've changed your oil. So this year it's about 2,200 people have gotten their oil picked up and their filter picked up, and it's been almost 9,000 gallons of oil that we've collected and prevented from maybe going into the dump or getting illegally dumped somewhere and getting it recycled. And then there have been several questions about how we're doing the school education program since the schools are shut down. And our vendor is Science Discovery Center. And so you can see there the little graph that in April of 19, they had 151 school programs, which is, you know, quite a bit. Say we're at that many schools during the month. But in April of 2020, they only had one. That's because COVID hit in March and shut down the schools. So they had to get with all the schools and the teachers and find out how to contact them and how to reschedule classes. And then they also had to switch to online live video work. And so they bought the plethora of gear that they needed, microphones, lights, laptop, camera, etc. And so now they're having the meetings live with video backup of the sites. And so there you can see the laptop they use and the camera. And so in just 2 months, they went from one program to getting 61% of them back and rescheduled. And the good news is it costs less money because we no longer have to pay for them to drive to the sites or pay for the bus. So we'd love to get back to normal, but at this point, we think Science Discovery Center is doing a great job. And again, our kids teach our parents, and our kids learn it the right way, and so we think this is one of our best programs. We also have a partnership with EcoSlow. They're doing quarterly adult trainings, and so the first one was May 26th, and it sold out with 110 participants. And June 23rd, they'd had 123 signed up for the next one. And that is, again, hosted in partnership with Science Discovery, and they have the videos and live presentation at the same time, and it's on YouTube as well. And that's it for my updates. I do want to mention that in order of sequence, we have an item, the closed session, and then one item following that for future agenda items, and we would need to move that up one space because when we go to closed session, we will have to shut the meeting to the public. We don't have a real good way to notify them to come back into the meeting. So we'll have to report and any actions of the closed session on our website and in our meeting minutes. So if there are no questions, I'll turn it back to you, President Gomez.
Thank you. Yeah. Does anybody have any questions?
Doesn't sound like they do. So let's move on to the consent agenda. Does anybody want to pull anything for deeper dive into that?
Sorry, President Gomez, it looked like Jeff Heller was raising his hand.
Okay. Mr. Heller?
Yes, thank you, Chair Gomez. The question I have, which kind of pertains to the public comment from Janine Rands, which is just kind of the education piece, and so many questions come up about what goes in what bin. And the last time I had the conversation, I believe it was with Brooks about this, he referred me to the IWMA website, which has a great button right there that you can pull up and put in whatever you're wondering about, and it'll tell you what bin to put that trash in. Is that something we should be telling the public about? Is that the go-to place for the coordinated information that so many people look for?
Yes, sir, I think it is. We're also working, you know, how do you get people who are avoiding the contact? They're not reaching out to us. They're not maybe reading our flyer, and they're not looking at the stickers on their cans. But we are updating the stickers. That's one of the pilot programs we've got going on right now, is replacing the stickers with the proper information on what is recyclable and what belongs in each cart. And we're actually doing a little bit of enhancement with that to check the carts before and after to see if citizens are paying attention to the new sticker and following those guidelines. But that will be one of our points of emphasis this year, is how do we reach people we haven't reached yet? And so we will get back to you throughout the year on what we think are going to work and not going to work, and what we're going to try.
So do you have a timeline, Brooks, on when you'll be rolling out the new stickers?
I would ask Patty to chime in on that. It may have already started, and I know it's in at least 3 towns right now.
Okay, so what it is, I hope everybody can hear me, is we're actually doing a pilot project. I reached out to the haulers in the last hauler meeting and asked if any haulers wanted to participate. One hauler said yes, and that was Waste Connections. So we're doing a pilot in Los Osos starting on Monday. We have one on Tuesday in San Luis Obispo, and then on Thursday in Pismo Beach. We're roughly targeting, say, 2,000 homes, residential, some business in there, but mostly it's residential. Brooks mentioned we're doing a check to see if there's contamination in the cart prior. Waste Connections is supplying the contamination prior to us putting the stickers on their floor sorts, so that we, once we put the stickers on, we'll, number one, see how much it costs to have 2 people going down the street slapping on stickers. Of course, they're wearing protective gear, sanitizing containers, cleaning off the container, properly adhering the sticker to the container. And then we'll go back and see if there's any change in behavior. And again, it's a small pilot, couple of locations, 3 at this time. We'll come back to you with a full report.
Okay, Patty, did you say that you've got one hauler signed on to this, or?
Yes, at this point, one hauler signed on to it. Fortunately, they're a rather large hauler, so we can get different segments of the population. It's Waste Connections, so they're everything from Ragged Point all the way down to Napomo, south of the Grade at this time.
Gotcha. Okay. That answers my question. Thank you. Thank you both for your comments. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, now we can move on to consent. If anybody has any questions, let me know. If not, we'll have to move to public comment.
Okay, so if anybody from the public wishes to comment, you can either hit the raise your hand button or hit *9 on your phone. We'll give it a minute. President Gomez, it does not look like you have any public comment.
Okay. If somebody would like to make a motion, we can move past the consent.
I'll second.
So it sounds like we had Gibson make the motion. Mr. Berbeau, you had the second?
Yes.
All right. Can we take a roll call, please?
Ruth Gibson?
Yes.
Karen Bright? I'm sorry, forgive me. Charles Berbeau?
Yes.
Debbie Arnold?
Yes.
Sheila Blake?
Yes.
Karen Bright?
Yes.
Lynn Compton?
Yes.
Lynn Compton, you are?
Yes.
Robert Enns?
Yes.
John Hammond?
Aye.
Jeff Hiller?
Aye.
John Pashong?
Yes.
Heath Storton?
Yes.
Aaron Gomez?
Yes.
President Gomez, the motion passes in a unanimous vote.
Okay. Moving on to the regular agenda, we've got item number 16, a discussion regarding single-use takeout utensils and accessories in San Luis Obispo County.
Thank you, President Gomez. The concern here is that restaurants who probably suffered the most during the pandemic may be giving out utensils and napkins, et cetera, to customers, and most likely those customers are taking the food home to eat. So these items might be unnecessary expense to them at this time when they can probably least afford it. And also these items could be resulting in a generation of unnecessary waste or trash. So we would like to turn this item back over to the board for discussion and direction to staff.
Thank you, Mr. Stair. And I'll give some background based on, because I've had interactions with the individuals that have brought this forward. There's been obviously a massive increase in the use of these items based on the shelter at home and more restaurants using these utensils. The problem being that these are automatically put in people's to-go bags, which some people would prefer not to have, therefore causing the issues that was just explained by Mr. Stair, and obviously having the trickle-down effect. So it's up to us to have the conversation. There's obviously several directions we can go to remedy the situation. There's education and outreach. There's an upon request ordinance that other jurisdictions have had, or obviously there's nothing at all that we can do. So if anybody has any questions or would like some clarification, now would be the time.
Mr. Gomez, Bruce Gibson, if it was indicated that the executive committee brought this forward, did the executive committee have any discussion as to their preferred approach?
We didn't have, I would say, conclusive in the sense of there's various opinions from the executive, so we did not want to bring forward a recommendation based on the various opinions.
I mean, my personal view is that this could / should be an opportunity for education as our first line of response here. I think, you know, IWMA has a very robust mechanism for doing that and a great tradition of doing that. And, you know, maybe some manner of explanation of the consequences of these things. We certainly see it in the coastal areas. We're seeing a considerable increase in solid waste that's, annoying visitors and residents and not doing anything good for the environment. So people would like to see that addressed. But I think particularly as this is a consequence of the pandemic and we're operating under emergency proclamations and other things in a rather stressed time, that if we can seek some community-wide cooperation, you know, business community-wide cooperation, I think that might be our most cost-effective and quickest way in which to address this.
Thank you for the comments.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Ms. Blake.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment on one situation that maybe everyone is not confronting, and that is the assumption that people will take all of these containers of food and then take them home to eat it. All of our visitors usually don't go home. They are visitors, and they leave all their trash behind them. Now, one thing that we discovered was that our scheduling of the trash pickup was entirely wrong, that the shift of the garbage picker-uppers, the trash can emptiers, and all the people that helped keep our Pismo Beach clean went home at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Now, that was not a good plan, so we changed their shift, and that helped a lot. But we still have a lot of waste just being left behind. And we have increased the number of trash cans. That helped. And we have changed the shift hours of the people who come and empty the cans. And sometimes I think that no amount of education is going to do it for the public. We've tried everything we could think of. But most of the people in Pismo pick up the takeaway orders, and then they squat on a curb somewhere, eat the food, and then leave the containers behind, and hope close to a trash can. They can deposit it in a trash can. But I just wanted you to know that there are a lot of places where you can't assume that these people are going to take the food home with them. They just don't.
I think that is a very valid point. And we need to keep in mind that all of these items that we see in front of us right here are not recyclable. So this is all, even if it ends up in a trash can, this does end up in our landfill. Therefore, making our diversion rates, again, lower, which we still are not even meeting close to as a state. So something to think about. We cannot pretend like this problem will just go away.
Great.
President Gomez?
Yes.
I just wanted to address Supervisor Gibson's question regarding the executive committee's a thought process on this. On the executive committee, I was kind of reluctant to bring this forward, but I reminded myself that in January, the board, the full board, unanimously approved bringing forward topics one by one, and this item was essentially listed in January and approved by the whole board to at least talk about next up, if you will. I was a little reluctant to bring it forward because I just thought it was a little premature given the circumstances our restaurants are dealing with. But I, you know, certainly agreed to do so. And that was partly because, as I said, the entire board had unanimously agreed to put this on the agenda for discussion, kind of at our next regular meeting, if you will. And while we're still not in a regular meeting format, it's, perhaps, like everybody, I'd like to get back to normal as much as possible.
President Gomez, it looks like Jeff Heller has his hand raised.
Hi, Mr. Heller. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you, Chair Gomez. So I'd just like to echo Sheila Blake's comments. In Morro Bay, we're experiencing very much the same thing. We've looked at our trash hauling routes and changed the schedules. We're talking about adding trash cans. People do take out. They also go through the fast food restaurants, and they want to come out to the water and sit on a rock or on the beach and eat. And the majority of people will put it in a trash can if it's reasonably close. But there are plenty of people that don't. And with the wind and so forth, we've had to augment our public works staff with volunteers, and we spend about 2 hours Saturday, Sunday, and Monday morning. Crawling over the boulders and the rocks, picking out food, the condiment packets, basically everything you see on the screen here. So it is a chronic issue, no matter what we do. But we're doing the best we can with it. But that's what's going on in Morro Bay. Thank you for allowing me a minute to talk about it.
Thank you, Mr. Heller.
President Gomez, it looks like John Pichon has his hand raised.
Mr. Pichon?
Okay. Hopefully you can hear me. I will tell you that this is not a situation just on the coastal towns, obviously, people leaving trash. I did trash pickup a couple times at Pirates Cove with Echo Slow, and I will tell you that it wasn't food containers, it was drug containers and beer bottles and prophylactics. So, I mean, it's not, this waste problem is a pretty big waste problem. We found it Pirates Cove that we added more trash cans, and actually people started to pick up a lot more of their garbage and put it in there. I think I go back to Disneyland. Disneyland years ago did a study. They found that every 25 feet, if they place a trash can, they cut down on the number of people they have to hire to pick up trash. So I think you should probably look into that. I will tell you that I like Mr. Gibson's idea of education. Let's talk to these folks and say, if we can do something without passing an ordinance here or banning something. And I will tell you, Ms. Blake, that I was eating on the curb in Pismo Beach last week, and I did place my trash in a trash receptacle that was not full. And I will, the only thing I will complain about is the fact that I never get enough Cholula in my bag. And I will talk directly to the vendor there and tell them I need more.
I'll pass that along.
And President Gomez, Debbie Arnold has her hand raised.
Okay. Go ahead.
So, yes, thank you.
Again, we will have public comment on this too. People, I feel like we're kind of getting into the opinion piece on this, kind of in the questioning zone. So,
do you want? I don't have a question. I thought we were all just giving our comments, but I can wait till after
public comment. I think we should.
Okay. I'll come back with the comments after public comment. Does that sound right?
Yeah, that sounds great. Okay. If any board members do have questions or concerns, I think this would be the time to do it. But if we're going into more of the dialogue, then I say we wait until after the public comment so we can hear what the public has to say about this. Seeing no questions or anybody chiming in, I would say let's move to public comment.
Okay, so at this time, if you have comment, please hit the raise your hand button, or if you're on the phone, you can hit *9. And it looks like Janine Rance is the first. Okay, Janine.
Okay, I'm unmuted.
Yes.
Okay, great. I sent in a letter today, so all of you can have access to that. But as far as education, and just thinking about the green bins out here, people putting a plastic, big plastic pots in their green waste bin, it's complete understood no-no by anybody. But education works if people listen, but you're not going to reach everybody, and everybody's eating and putting things in the trash. So most cities that have enacted ordinances have done it because they can reach everybody serving food using the right containers that are not plastic. If they're not plastic, they're going to be maybe hopefully biodegradable. If a wooden spork or a wooden chopstick lands out in the water, it won't be on the planet for the rest of its life. So I am fully supportive, and I encourage Ida B. May to have an ordinance that would address plastics and stop the use of single-use disposables that are plastic. There's so many more opportunities and options, rather, for purchase that have become compatible with the price of plastic that it behooves us to create an ordinance. Everyone is addressed. The options for people that are going to abuse their food waste or their container, if it's a paper or a compostable item and it gets wrongly disposed, it's not going to fly off into the ocean and be there forever for a fish to eat on, especially birds and the packets that get picked up by the birds and thrown out. So I sent in my suggestions, and I would like to suggest that we consider a resolution, something that's addressed right now. We don't have to vote on it for two different meetings. And then work on an accessory package that we would attach to our ordinance that takes place in April of 2021. And there's so many cities that have super ordinances that address plastics and food waste that we don't have to look very far and recreate a wheel that's already been done. Thank you.
Oh.
And it looks like our next speaker is Craig Caldwell. And Craig, you should be unmuted. Craig, are you there? Okay, so it looks like Craig's having some technical difficulty. President Gomez, Craig Caldwell was the only one with his hand raised, and it doesn't look like he's able to speak. Oh, sorry, we have Surf Rider now. Hold on.
Is it Craig Caldwalder? Caldwell, not Caldwell.
Sorry. Okay, Surf Rider San Luis Obispo?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Awesome. Hi, my name is Melanie McDowell. I am the volunteer coordinator for the local Surfrider San Luis Obispo chapter, and I'm also a local business owner. I would like to voice my support of furthering empowering local businesses to adopt environmentally progressive practices and to consider drafting an upon request guidelines or an amendment to the existing ordinances. This would allow businesses to offer one-time use disposable utensils at a request only situation. So this can accommodate the people that squat on curbs to eat and the people that take food home. And the city could potentially provide materials to educate the businesses to also educate their own consumers. So thank you for your consideration.
Thank you.
Would you like me to try Craig Caldwalder again?
Yeah, I would try him one more time, and if he still is unable to do it, then we can move on if there's no other public speakers.
Okay, do you hear me now?
Yes.
Oh, great. Sorry, I had to get on a different computer. My name is Craig Cadwallader, and I sincerely thank the IWMA board members and staff for allowing me to comment on this item. The upon request element is something that's being incorporated into almost every newer foodware ordinance, and this is a very business-friendly item. It is merely asking the business to ask the customer if they want these items before they automatically put them in a carry-out bag or other container. And a lot of cases, when there's something that's delivered to your residence, most people I know already have utensils, and they don't need these additional items. All of these items, as President Gomez mentioned, are not recycled, so they do get into the waste stream. And by not simply blindly putting them in a bag, the business saves money. This is very pro-business, and it's pro-environment. There's really no downside to it. It's simply ask the customer, would you like utensils with that? And it can do great things for the businesses that aren't throwing money away, basically what they do, and because you can't return these items once they are delivered. And so it just goes into trash, and it's literally throwing money in the trash. And my recommendation, which I emailed to all of you and have mentioned in previous meetings, is to do this in two phases. One, to satisfy the educational component, as was wisely suggested, is to pass a resolution asking businesses to voluntarily adopt an upon request practice That means they ask their customers before they automatically throw it in the bag. The other element would be an amendment to the existing foodware ordinance that would go into effect on April 9th of 2021, which gives plenty of time to educate and help implement this. So this is one of the actually really nice elements that is a win-win across the board. So we would hope in your next meeting you might consider a resolution to adopt this with an amendment to the existing foodware ordinance that you could vote on for the normal process. But it's pro-business, pro-environment, makes everybody happy, so I strongly encourage you to support this. Thank you for allowing me to comment.
Thank you. All right, so we can bring that back to the board for discussion. And just for efficiency's sake, if we were to do a resolution, does that need to be given direction and then we have to take that action at the next meeting, or can a resolution be passed in this meeting?
President Gomez, this is Jeff Minery. This is just a discussion item, so we would need to bring back something to the board, and I think what your executive director is seeking is simply guidance as far as what the board would like to see come forward.
Mr. Chairman, if I might, this is Bruce.
Yes.
As I indicated, my apologies, I'm going to have to depart to another meeting at 2:30, but let me voice my thought that the last commenter's idea, I think, is a good one. I would certainly support the IWMA passing a resolution requesting businesses go to a utensils and condiments on request approach. I think now's not the time to debate an ordinance demanding that. But, you know, I think in the future, as we get out of the COVID pandemic and the emergency that we're under, as part of previous direction of this agency, that thinking about, the next steps on single-use plastics is certainly an appropriate part of our mission. But for now, a resolution requesting businesses to go on request would be, a perfectly reasonable, low-impact, low-cost, and potentially beneficial approach.
Thank you, Mr. Gibson. Do you have any other board members who want to weigh in?
Yeah, I'd like to comment if I could.
Yes, Mr. Heller.
I agree with the public comment from Mr. Catawaller, and I support Supervisor Gibson's position and comments on this. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Heller.
I have a hand up. I don't know if anyone can see that my hand's been raised.
Yeah, unfortunately, I can't see that, so sorry about that.
Okay, so I just want to go ahead and give my comments that I held back on until public comment was over. I absolutely think this is the wrong time to consider an ordinance or a resolution. We know we're holding these Zoom meetings, which are very difficult for many members of the public to participate in, especially if they're not used to the technology or don't have the proper equipment. And besides that, we know that right now there are many more people dependent on takeout food orders than maybe in the past that we've been dealing with. We know that people's habits are changing with the takeout the takeout foods. I don't think that this is the time to be passing ordinances or resolutions, but I do think it's a very good time to continue to utilize our educational programs and maybe focus on this issue. Education. I hear us saying that this should be an on-demand situation, but we know that when people are zipping through a drive-through or trying to get home or picking up, especially people that haven't been in the habit of doing the takeout, they may forget to ask and find themselves without the condiments and accessories that they needed when they pick up their food. I think if we continue to utilize educational programs where restaurateurs ask, I agree with that. If restaurants want to ask their customers, What else can I get you? What do you need? And if customers start to think about letting the restaurants know the items that they don't need or want, then that's going to be a big first step. But right now, when there's just so much demand and people are kind of in the middle of having their routine disrupted anyway, and the businesses as well, I just think that we should start to focus on educational programs and direct them towards this issue.
Thank you. I would like to elaborate on that note. Currently, nobody has proposed an ordinance. And secondly, the resolution is literally asking our staff to educate people about this issue. So I guess
what I'm saying is we can give staff direction that we would like to see increased our programs directed towards this particular issue increase. Staff direction. That's where I would land on.
President Gomez, if I might, this is Jeff Minnery. I think your board certainly can't give direction to staff today. My comment was simply on I would not propose we're not in a position to adopt a resolution today, but certainly direction to staff to focus on education is appropriate.
Yes, and a resolution would just codify that that's what we are doing. We would take that action at the next meeting. So,
correct.
Yeah.
Chairman Gomez?
Yes, Mr. Ennis.
I would suggest that the IWMA, through the executive director, write a letter as an educational effort to appropriate business venues suggesting that the on request for these items and ask for feedback. Let's see how it goes.
I'll second that.
Thank you.
Because it's Cayucas rules, baby.
All right.
I'd like to understand that a little bit better. I mean, I think the comments regarding ordinances are relevant, though, in the sense that I would not want to go down the road of an ordinance on this, even if that was some months in the future. And my question was going to be, what just precludes us from having staff go out and educate like they are now without needing to do a resolution? Pointing out to restaurants, hey, you don't have to provide, you could just ask people, you know, if they want to, if they want these items or not. And Mr. Cadwalader had spoken to the executive committee and said, you know, this is a no-brainer for businesses, it would save them money, but, you know, we usually don't have to tell businesses to save money. if it's a good business idea to save them money, they would be doing it already. And I don't, certainly wouldn't believe in putting it into ordinance form. I'm not sure we would get through a resolution that we wouldn't get with just having our staff go out and do education like Supervisor Arnold suggested. So, Mr. N's suggestion regarding a letter, I'm not sure if you could just clarify a little bit what you would want that to say.
Yes, I just think that as an educational letter, write to these civic restaurants suggesting that they only supply these items upon request, to ask the customer if they want them. But the important part of what I was trying to say was, let's get some feedback from these business people, and that might give us a better insight into how we would want to make either a resolution or an ordinance in the future. And I don't think, Jeff Minnery, you might chime in here. Bruce, thank you for the second, but I don't think we can make a motion on this item because it's for discussion only.
President Gomez, if I might respond to Mr. Ends. Direction to staff is appropriate. I think if you don't need a motion, there is no resolution, there is no vote, this is just discussion, but certainly direction to continue with educational efforts or something of the sort, or to bring something back, either of those would be appropriate.
Aaron Gomez, John.
Yes. Hammond. Go ahead, Mr. Hammond.
Before John, can I just butt in? I do have to go, and Supervisor Compton has graciously offered to take over my second, and I'll deputize her to amend, to go with whatever gets amended here. I am sorry for the double booking today. Thank you, John. I'm sorry.
Thanks, Mr. Gibson.
No problem, Aaron. I was just going to say, I had to re-up. I lost connection there. So anyway, I'm back on. But again, Paso Robles kind of anticipated this increased waste stream, and we've stepped up all our, you know, container cleaning but what we're seeing basically in the downtown park area is that a lot of our restaurants are using already degradable containers. They're already on board with this new plan, but you know, I would favor again any kind of a media educational kind of a mode, but particularly if a particular agency wants to do more, they can certainly do more within their own city. In other words, if they feel like they're very strongly about outlawing anything, they can do that themselves without having to go through IWMA at this point.
And, correct. If I might, I would just say that I would prefer rather, I mean, as a business owner, we all know you get the letters. I would prefer media and or even something more, some kind of a promotional card or paper that's bright, that's simple, that we put into the work with the haulers and put into their billing or those kinds of things, where it's catchy. People look, they have their few seconds to get it. In other words, I would like to see us approach it like we did back in the day with littering, back in the day with recycling, where just quick little things, and then eventually it kind of catches on. But we could utilize a system like that with both the residential customers, or I mean the citizens, as well as the business owners, and just that little quick messaging, and try to see if that gets us the end result we're after.
I would agree too.
I will point out that we have not solved littering or recycling. So I would actually take the approach of IWMA should reach out directly. I mean, in the sense of we know where it comes from. You can directly reach out to restaurants and have the conversation. It can go with a mailer or something that is poppy, but we're not going to get to the point of a really solving this issue if we're just relying on media and papers, just because we can look at the history of marketing behind these items. It literally takes decades, and by the time we've even got to the solution, a new problem has come up behind it. And I say this because I pay very close attention to the realities of recycling in today's environment. Over the past several years, it has changed drastically, yet we've still relied on an old message that people are very confused by. Most people don't even know that these items that they're getting are not recyclable.
So, Aaron, do we have direction enough for Brooks to continue and get the word out?
Yeah, Brooks, do you feel you have the direction? Does anybody else want to pare that down? I mean, I'm all for the education and outreach. And even IWMA staff can weigh in on what have they seen as the best way to educate the public that they actually see responses. It seems to me directly to the restaurants so that they understand the issue, so they can therefore educate, you know, their staff as well as the public. Because again, as a small business owner, oftentimes it's not so much money saving that we're going after as much as we're trying to accommodate our clients. And forever it's been seen as you're doing them a service by giving them as many options within these bags so that they, you know, feel like you are providing good customer service. But if we now realize that the downstream repercussions for the business, our waste stream, as well as the higher costs, because all of this trickle down, we've all just paid increased fees for our waste collection system, and that's directly correlated to the recycling issues that have come up. So now that we have more of these non-recyclable items again entering, and people don't realize that they can't be recycled in there and end up in the recycle bin, we're going to, again, probably have the same trickle down where a year from now, or maybe even less, we're going to have an increase in cost of our waste. So.
President Gomez, if I may, it looks like John Pichon has his hand raised.
Yeah, go ahead, Mr. Prashant.
I just wanted to ask Brooks if you're going to do a letter or you're going to communicate with these folks to be nice, because every time letters get sent out by the government and they're let's say they're a little bit sharper than they should be, I get about a billion phone calls. So please protect my phone. Thank you.
But the letter is the most expensive thing. That's going to be upwards of 10 grand typically. But we do have direct marketing means through the haulers and through bills from time to time. And so I would suggest you could work on that avenue first.
Yeah, I think that's great.
That works for me.
Yes. I had a comment, but Supervisor Compton's had her hand raised a couple times, so.
Giving up.
Yeah, just so everybody knows, I can't see any of those little figures, so somebody would have to point it out to me, so sorry about that. Just chime in, because that's the only way that I can hear when people are trying to comment.
Right, I'll chime in. I'm not at all supportive of any kind of an ordinance doing this right now. Seems like there's not the fortitude to do that from this discussion, but it seems like it's a slow increment, and then we walk down that path. I'm fine with asking people if you're a restaurant owner, and being a small business owner is different than being a restaurant owner where you use this. A small business owner wouldn't dispense these, but it will drastically affect restaurant owners. I know for one, when I order out at lunch, I come back to my office and eat it. I don't have utensils at my office, so I want these plastic utensils to use them. But I don't have any problem if a business owner says to the customer, do you want this or not? If you have it, and if it can save them money, that's fine too. And if there's less pollution, that's fine. But I don't think we need a resolution or anything like that. I think a letter going out to individuals, would be fine. And that's what I would support. And if it's a letter to haulers and then they pass it on to customers, they kind of do that with straws right now. If somebody asks for a straw, I'm fine with that.
President Gomez?
Yeah, I do want to comment on that, because the straws thing, it's straws upon request. It's an actual ordinance.
I know, but I'm saying you don't need that. They're still asking the customer if they need it. They're not handing it out for those that don't need it. They ask the customer, and I'm fine if they ask the customer. I don't know why we always need an ordinance for everything.
Again, nobody has proposed an ordinance.
President Gomez?
Yes.
I'm struck by the comment that Brooks made that, you know, a letter to everybody across the county costs about $10,000. We've had discussions in the past, and I think Supervisor Arnold in particular has brought this up about businesses not knowing what's going on. And, you know, we publicize our meetings and such, but and I've said that we need to do a better job of reaching out to businesses that are affected by our actions. And I'm wondering, Brooks, do we have, or maybe Patty knows this, do we have a list? I know we do have like grocery stores relative for plastic bags, but do we have a list, an email list of restaurants and that sort of thing? So that instead of spending $10,000 on a paper letter, that we can quickly communicate with all of the affected parties whenever we're talking about something. Because we also need to get more feedback from some of the restaurants as to how they feel about this kind of thing before we run off and do something. But do we have a more effective and inexpensive way of communicating with stakeholders on this kind of thing?
Chime in on this. At this point in time, we don't have email lists. We do have mailing lists, but that's an excellent idea. And moving forward, we need to shift gears away from mailing lists and into email lists. So you've spurred that in my mind. I'll see what I can do. I think it's a much better way to communicate. I'll get back to you guys on that.
Thank you. Yeah, I think it'd be faster, and we just advise them, say, hey, you know, we've had a discussion on this. It might be helpful if you, you know, ask your customers if they really want this, you know, stuff when they make an order.
That also may help out for when something's coming down the pike with the board and, you know, you have a bunch of small businesses. What's your opinion on this? You know, and that way we get survey feedback from folks.
Exactly. That's what I'm looking for, is because I think sometimes we do these things and some of us will go out and talk to a few small businesses or restaurants or what have you. And I've certainly done that, but I'm not getting a huge sample when I go and talk to three or four or five. And I would feel a lot better knowing that they all got an opportunity, not to find the IWMA agenda on a website, but to actually respond to an email saying, hey, what's your opinion on this? I'd feel better about that. Because I'm always struck with, some folks, their first thing is to go for a government mandate, and we would, wherever we go, we're best to get some feedback from affected parties. But a letter, in the form of an email would be, I think, a good step.
Thank you for that feedback. I appreciate it.
President Gomez, it looks like Sheila Blake has her hand raised.
Ms. Blake?
Hi. Yeah, I just wanted to say, there's all kinds of resources of addresses and emails. You can start with the Chamber of Commerce's. You can start with hotel associations. They all have big lists of their customers. Even a food supplier would probably be a good way to get a hold of these people. Pismo had some pretty good success with printing our own signs and then handing them out and posting them on poles and stuff. So that's also a possible way to get a hold of these people.
Thank you.
Sure.
Chair Gomez, this is Keith Storton. Just real quick, I do agree with the educational component and think that outreach would be helpful. And maybe even a voluntary sign at the point of sale that says something like, we provide utensils and condiments upon request, something like that. I did go to a takeout store the other day where the person that was helping me automatically started putting stuff in. Whether they were educated by their owner or not to do it or not, they did. I asked them to remove them and keep them because I didn't need it. I was taking it home. Sometimes that signage might not only help the employees know, but also customers as well. So there's a dual education component there. That's all I had. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Storton. So, Brooks, do you feel, based on the commentary you've had, you have enough direction? Doesn't look like we are going for a resolution, but there is definite support for educational outreach of your choosing of a myriad of ways to solve this. And it would be nice to get some, obviously, there's been some comment to get some feedback based on what you hear back from individuals as we do the outreach.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of good ideas, and we were already starting to work on this earlier, but we're good, and we can report back in August our progress.
Sounds great. All right, so we're going to move on to item number 18, head of the closed session, which I think is just items for discussion for future agenda items, or something to that effect. Yes, member comments, future agenda items. Anybody have anything that they want to bring up? Does not sound like it. Is there any? We generally take public comment on this item?
Generally, you would not.
Yeah, I didn't think so. So in that circumstance, then we can move into closed session.
President Gomez?
Yes, Mr.
I doubt that we have it, but do we need to give the public comment on closed session before?
Thank you. Can we open that up for public comment if there is any?
At this time, if any member of the public wishes to make a comment on closed session, you may raise your hand or hit *9. It does not look like you have anybody that wishes to make comment.
All right. So now we can move it.
Yeah. President Gomez, this is Jeff Minnery. If I might interject, just for the benefit of the members of the public, because of the Zoom format, we will adjourn. The board will adjourn to closed session, but is not able to reopen up the meeting to the public for the report out. So, in discussions with staff, executive director will post whatever report out of closed session is on their agenda, and of course we will again report it out at the next meeting.
Perfect. Thank you. So I guess just let us know when we're
okay.
The secret.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll let you know when we're clear.
Okay. Same.